So my name's Rye. Thank you, Karen, for having me here, and thanks to you all for being here. As Karen said, I'm the director of the National Research Center, just relatively new here at the university, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the center itself and where we're at. Again, as Karen said, this is just an overview. We're going to go through a lot more detail probably via your questions, and really there's a lot to talk about with it. So, the National Research Center, this is a product of the settlement agreement. We are in Schedule N of the overall settlement agreement. One of the obligations of the TRC was to create us before the end of its mandate. In 2012, just so you know how we actually came to be here, the TRC issued a big call for proposals, a national call for proposals, that asked for organizations or institutions to submit proposals to host the NRC. And on National Aboriginal Day, June 21st of 2013, the University of Manitoba, in conjunction with its partners, was awarded the National Research Center. So this resulted in a couple documents here, the administrative agreement and the trust deed. So these are kind of the governing mandate of the NRC. You can see these are online right now, and this really sets out not only how we're going to do our work, but also some of the whys of why we're going to be doing our work in the next few years. Very importantly, though, the National Research Center, yes, is an institution, but it is a collection of some incredibly important records. These aren't records that are just important to Aboriginal peoples either. These are important records to really all Canadians because there remains a fairly significant gap in our understanding of what really happened in the residential schools and the perception of people. In addition to this, these records aren't just records about what happened. These are the records of individuals' lives that were lived inside an institution. And one of the real dynamics about being raised by an institution is that you're not raised by a mother or father. You're raised by an employee, and your parent is, the federal government or a religious entity. So some of these photographs that we have, we're going to end up, hopefully, when it's all said and done, with about 30 or 40,000 photographs. Many times, these are some of the only photographs that a person may have of themselves as a young child because they simply didn't have anybody taking pictures of them because they weren't at home. They were raised completely by these institutions. Some of these kids literally went there in September, and some of them never returned home for 5-6 years. They were there 12 months a year. And there's even some strange stories where, kids are there even longer than 12 years as well, where they're there in these institutions for 13 or 14 years through a variety of reasons. So this is a very, very important collection. It is by far and away the largest collection of information on residential schools in the country. And there's also a lot of other information just on the general policy and the general intent of the Canadian government and the churches that are also in this collection of records. So to go into some specifics, we've got government records, survivor-generated records, and then church records. Government records, we have everything from very highly sensitive police investigation files into the sexual abuse that happened in the schools, to policy documents, to a variety of other materials. Survivor statements we have, artifacts, original works of art, poems that were provided to us by survivors. And then the church records, we also have the records of the church, but quite often what we see in those records is we see they're a little bit richer in a sense in that they may contain more yearbooks from students or student actual work. So for some of the students accessing these collections, those are actually going to be very rich collections of material. So the NRC has got a couple main big overarching goals. You can find these right in Schedule N of the settlement agreement, but it talks about archiving with a purpose and tradition in keeping with the spirit and objectives of the TRC's work. So sincerely acknowledging harms, working together towards a stronger and healthier future, establishing new relationships. So these are very aspirational goals of the NRC. So this isn't just a collection of documents, but this is very much a center that is intended to and will be a center that continues to advance the ideas of truth and reconciliation in this country. In addition to that, we need to keep the journey going in terms of the collective path that we're all on of reconciliation. We're going to be looking at bringing Aboriginal students into the center and other students as well to become familiar with the practices of preserving this material. And we also critically have to provide people with opportunities to talk to us in the future as well, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that we haven't talked about yet as a country. There's a whole bunch of people that haven't yet felt enabled or empowered or ready yet to share what their experiences were in the residential schools afterwards, or some of the other effects that they've felt. Education is also a big component to that, so there's actually no coincidence that we're talking to you here. I mean, this is nuts and bolts of what the NRC is all about. Very briefly, we will be governed by a survivor circle and a governing circle. This governing circle is meant to ensure that we're doing our work in the best way possible for survivors, because we can never forget who we're actually doing this work for and why we actually were created. One of the things to remember about the settlement agreement itself is that, you know, you'll see stuff in the news sometimes where it says, oh, you know, the government's kicked in this much money and stuff. Well, the government kicked in that much money because they had to settle the largest class action lawsuit in Canadian history. So at the TRC, we always looked at this as being first survivor money, money that was diverted from other aspects of compensation to create these programs that are designed to create a better and more civil society, I suppose, in this country. So governance is very important. There's also a couple of key positions that we're going to be working on. The director there, we're going to have a head archivist and a director of research, which is really going to be helping people conduct new work in the center. We're obviously here. I'm just going to fast forward. This is obviously the campus, but we're actually going to be located in this building here, which is literally right across the street from here. So if you peek out this window, you can see Chancellor's Hall, and we're just in the process of sort of doing a little bit of a renovation there. So we're going to be in there in about mid-October. So once we're open, definitely come by. This is going to be a supportive place in order to do work, learn more about the residential schools. The big grand opening of this center isn't going to be until June of next year, because we've got to wait for the TRC to conclude its activities before we officially open. But we're going to be neighbors, so don't be a stranger. It's meant to be a really good welcome place for everybody to come into and learn more. Number of partners: Canadian Museum of Human Rights. We have partners right across the country, so University of Winnipeg, Red River, Collège Université here locally, Lakehead University, University of British Columbia. The idea is that these partners are going to help us get the material out, repatriate this material back into communities, and also ensure that there's new information coming in. So it's very much an in and out of the center. And to the extent possible, this is just where we're starting. We're, of course, very new. We want to see a lot more dots on this map. And what we can see here is one of our partners, the National Association of Aboriginal Friendship Centers, in fact, has very good coverage across the country. Still some gaps in the north that we're going to have to address. And there's some real challenges about the north generally. Like, we got this wonderful, great collection of digitized material that we're going to be presenting back to the world via web technologies and interfaces. But what does that mean when you're living in a remote community that, you know, doesn't have broadband? I mean, it doesn't even have clean water, right? Doesn't even have broadband internet. So how are we going to get this material back into those communities? So when we're thinking about what the future looks like, we're really thinking about providing access to all these various groups of people. The question mark is kind of the catch-all. Like, there's a whole bunch of general sort of people that we need to provide this collection to, but survivors. So what are they going to be looking for? How do they want to access the material? Families, students, educators. And education, of course, recognizing that it's critical that we all collectively understand this, and that educators have the ability to implement this material into curricula across the country, because this is really kind of one of the front grounds and front lines of reconciliation. This is a very bad mock-up of what the website is actually going to look like, but this is meant to say that, yes, we are going to have a public website, and this is going to be up in about another 8 months or so. But the idea is that you're going to be able to come into this site, learn more about a school, review some of the 7,000-odd statements that have been collected by the TRC, browse the documents, and really start being able to dig into this collection in a fairly user-friendly way, which, of course, is going to be really important for understanding residential schools. But residential schools were just one aspect of the whole aggressive assimilation policy that happened in this country. So there's going to be a lot of rich information in there generally. We're going to be using some mapping technology. This happens to be a map of all of the hearing locations that the TRC did. So there are statements from every one of these locations. So this is where the commissioners from the TRC traveled and where statement gatherers went out. And this is just a handful of the locations that we went to. So you're going to see that the effect and legacy of the residential schools is not limited to one particular region or one particular geography. The shocking thing that I found working for the TRC is that you can be on the west coast of Canada and way up north in the Arctic or way out east, and the effect and the legacy of the residential schools is alive and well and very real in all areas of the country. good creative use of digital technologies, iPads, you know, your iDevices, your Androids, all that kind of stuff. We're going to be looking at providing this digital material back out via these tools, which is, of course, designed and conducted with the idea of making the collection as accessible and as contemporary, as relevant as possible. And we will be restricted in some regards, and this is a double-edged sword, this one. We can have a lot of conversation about this. This is probably a whole seminar, I guess, on privacy and all the various ways that privacy legislation is both a really great thing for the NRC and a barrier to access. Because all of the records were produced to the NRC, well, produced to the TRC, for legal purposes and under legal obligation, none of the material has been reviewed for personal information. Basic privacy law says that, you know, personal information needs to be protected and can't be released to the general public unless it has been redacted or unless there are certain conditions that have been met. So right now, we are faced with a fairly significant challenge where the vast majority of the collection will be under restricted status, and we're going to have to come up with various tools and work processes to review the material and slowly release it and make it more accessible. So this is where kind of there's a huge chunk of work, and there's also a lot of contention in this particular issue that, of course, we can talk about. So that's about all I'm going to say. There's lots more to talk about, and I'm going to turn it over to our next speaker here, and we'll follow up with some questions, I'm hoping. So thanks.